Hello and welcome to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Frank Castella Jr. I'm the president and CEO for the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce. And here on our show today, I'm going to be bringing in some great guests, including Mr. Jeff Feldman, the founding partner of Feldman, Clydman, Collins & Sape, and Cynthia Madden, the founder and chef of Apex Kitchen RX. But before we get to our guests, I want to quickly tell you about some upcoming events that's happening right here in the Hudson River Valley. First, this week is our April Contact Breakfast. This is a networking event with a keynote speaker. Will take place at the Hilton in the city of Poughkeepsie. Again, April 22nd at 7:30 in the morning. That's this upcoming Wednesday. Then there will be a ribbon cutting on April 23rd at Fruition Chocolate Works. Then at Pure Tech on April 24th, there will be another ribbon cutting. And then on April 30th, Thursday, is the Hudson Valley's Top 40 Under 40 Mover and Shaker Awards. If you have not gotten your tickets, this is an event not to be missed. There's so much happening at the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce. Check them out all online at dcrcoc.org. We have to take a quick break here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show, but when we come back from our break, we'll be joined by Jeff Feldman, founding partner of Feldman, Clydman, Collins, and Sape. Hang in there. We'll be back right after this message.
Hey, it's Uncle Mike from iHeartRadio. Frank Costello Jr. is in the studio. Frankie, what's going on over at the Chamber?
Uncle Mike, we are planning for the 35th annual Hudson Valley Hot Air Balloon Festival. It'll take place once again on Labor Day weekend, September 4th, 5th, and 6th this year, and it'll be at Time Warp Park in Unionvale, New York. This event has become a rite of passage for summer for everyone here in the Hudson Valley, with hot air balloon illumination moon glows, mass ascensions all weekend long, fireworks each night, 2x2 Animal Haven live music, a drone zone, bubble zone, live entertainment, and so much more. Find all the information and tickets online at the website balloonfesthv.com. That's balloonfesthv.com. And remember, Uncle Mike, those tickets sell out each and every year. And welcome back to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. Now in the studio with me from Feldman, Clydman, Collins, and Sape, Mr. Jeff Feldman, the founding partner. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. Always good to be with you.
This is not your first time on the show, but I want the listeners who may be just tuning in for the first time to learn a little bit about you. Before we jump into the organization, Feldman, Clydman, Collins, and Sape, I'd like you to talk a little bit about Jeff Feldman. Who is Jeff Feldman? What's your background? What was your schooling? What made you decide to go into law? What was your upbringing like? Because I find you to be such a fascinating person.
I appreciate that. I was in college. I went to Ithaca College, got a bachelor's degree in chemistry. And then the next year, I was at the University of Maryland, and my plan was to get an MBA. But I was there for 1 year, had a little episode with somebody that was trying to perpetrate a crime, and I ended up deciding to leave Maryland and went to Syracuse to go to law school with the idea that when I graduated from law school, I would go into business the same as with my MBA plan. I had a professor at Syracuse Law School who sort of shepherded me into the trial practice area. I took a trial practice course. Professor Humphreys, who was a former assistant U.S. attorney, told me that I should be a trial lawyer. And so the business I ended up in was the business of being a trial lawyer. When I got out of law school, I clerked for Judge Williams in Monticello, who is a Supreme Court level trial judge, watched trials, wrote opinions. And then in 1980, my wife and I moved here, and I worked for a firm that was then local, doesn't exist anymore, but it specialized in doing medical malpractice defense work. And that was how I ended up in Poughkeepsie. And so I was at that firm for about 5.5 years, and things got a little crazy there, and it was time to leave and to move on. So Paul Clydman, who was an associate there, I was a partner by that time, we decided that we would leave and strike it out on our own, and we started Feldman and Clydman in February of 1986, so it's 40 years. So we have a unique practice. It's very unusual. When I left that other firm, I had been doing the plaintiff's personal injury work at that firm, where we represented people as long as they weren't suing a doctor or a hospital. And we also, you know, represented lots of doctors and hospitals. in the Dutchess County, Hudson Valley area. So when Paul and I started our own, we kept that model. And so we do both plaintiff's personal injury work as well as the defense of medical malpractice actions. And that's been the focus of the firm for the past 40 years.
Just want to reflect on your history just a moment and back up to the point in time when you had a mentor that recognized the talent in you to become a trial attorney. I want you to talk about, from the leadership perspective, having a mentor and what that was like and why that's so important to have in leadership.
It's indispensable. I mean, when you have someone that takes you under their wing and advises you, mentors you, counsels you and keeps you pointed in the right direction, there's nothing better. And it doesn't matter what field you're in. So as an example, my dad was a master electrician, and it was very hard to work for him because if you didn't do it Kenny's way, that was the only way. But if you did it Kenny's way, you did it the right way. And so he mentored lots of electricians who became very successful. And so I don't think it's any different whether you're an electrician, a plumber, a carpenter, a lawyer, a doctor. We all need mentors. I have tried to pay that forward in mentoring many, many lawyers over the years.
Being a mentor to build that team, to build the team that you have dreamt of, to be the firm with the reputation that you want to have. And that's where you are today, very well recognized in the industry. Very, very well respected and awarded. I want you to talk a little bit about that for a moment.
It's a thrill. It doesn't come without hard work. It's not like something that was given. We have an incredible team of people in the firm. And when I always talk about the team, I'm not just referring to the lawyers that work there, but to everyone. I mean, my office manager, Patty, who retired this past August, she was with me since 1982. We could never have done what we accomplished had it not been for her acting as the office manager and keeping control. And so it doesn't matter whether we're talking about the receptionist, who's the first person that anyone who calls our office speaks to and engages with, or the person who keeps track of all of our filing, or all of the legal secretaries and the paralegals. It really is a unique team, and it's a great group of people.
It's interesting because in your world, when you look at firms throughout, not just the Hudson Valley, but throughout the nation, very seldom do you see partners that stay within a firm and even associates that stay within a firm. But you have had that longevity with your firm for quite some time. It says a lot about who the people are that work within your firm.
Candidly, we've had both. So we have had people who have been with us for a very long time, but we've also had people who, you know, weren't interested in working as hard as you have to work in order to learn the medicine and be as well versed in the nuances of what it takes to practice medicine in order to be able to defend those people. So we've had the same issues as anybody else in any other industry as far as keeping people and the problems as far as hiring in the Valley and things like that.
Good time to dive into the firm itself, Feldman, Clyde, and Collins, and SAPE, and talk about those areas of practice. We alluded to MedMal, obviously, but let's talk about the areas of expertise and what each of those attorneys within your firm bring to the table.
So in the medical malpractice world, you know, there's as many different areas of specialty as there are in the medical field. So as an example, when I first started doing medical malpractice work, a lot of the cases that I was handling were anesthesia related, but technology caught up with what was going on in the medical field, and those cases don't exist anymore, mostly because of certain areas of technology that existed. But then as things have evolved with laparoscopic surgery, robotic surgery, different aspects of cancer care and things like that, we've all gravitated to different areas. So one of my partners has handled more stroke cases than anybody else. Another partner's handled a lot of obstetrical cases. involving the delivery process. I've handled lots of different cancer type cases. We all do across the board, but there tends to be a focus.
So obviously talking about the firm and your specialty and your focus, one of the main focuses your firm has had and I think has brought your entity to light in our community is the community service and give back that you have focused on. And I think that is something that is a tribute not only to you and your leadership, but also your entire company, because it's not just you, it's everyone involved in your company, and it's a culture. I want you to talk about that and what made you take that direction.
So right from the very beginning, both Paul Kleidman and I were very community oriented, and we were very active. At the time, we each had one child, and so that led me to get involved in the Jewish Community Center because my son was going to early childhood there. Paul was involved in certain other activities. Then we started to sponsor, as the kids got a little bit older, we started to sponsor, soccer teams, little league teams, things like that. And then one thing led to another, and we each got involved in different boards. Paul was very active on the board at Kingston Hospital. I got involved at the JCC and that board, and then LaGrange Soccer, which led me to get involved with the town of LaGrange Recreation. It's just one thing led to another for each of us, and as other people came on board. One of our other partners who left was on the New Paul School Board. We all had our own interests, but the bottom line was that we all collectively supported each other so that, for example, if I had a deposition, but I had a JCC board meeting, somebody else took that deposition so that I could take care of my board responsibility. And we all did that for each other, and that continues to the present.
We were speaking a moment off air about the changes in your industry, particularly in the medical world and healthcare. Can you talk just a little bit about some of those changes and what they mean for us here as not only taxpayers, but folks that are seeking good quality healthcare?
Having represented physicians and hospitals and large medical groups for, over 40 years now, the changes are all over the place. I mean, Hudson Valley Radiology, which was a local radiology group, that ceased to exist as of November or December of 2025. And all of those radiologists went in different directions. What used to be Mount Kisco Medical Group or CareMount was bought by Optum. What was Cristo Run Healthcare was also bought by Optum, mm-hmm. and not any different than in any other industry. Yeah. When the industries consolidate, there's a duplication of, maybe human resources or different support people. And so the entities that are purchasing these groups tend to lay off people because the duplication of effort is not any longer needed.
And I would imagine, and this is me speaking, certainly not you, that this really affects the quality of care that we receive in industry. Because I see this in all industries. It doesn't matter. I've seen with private equity coming in and buying plumbers in the area, HVAC, electrical contractors, the list goes on. You can name the industry. Private equity, if they're invested in it, we see it big time with IT in this area. Mm-hmm. IT has been gobbled up. There aren't any real small IT companies left other than a select few. And that, to me, is my preference. That's where I want to be because I feel like that's where I get the better customer service.
Right. And also going back to involvement in the community, it's the mom and pop shop that's going to support the local, yes, soccer club or the chamber or the other things. I mean, private equity has bought two of the larger medical groups in Dutchess County. It definitely affects the quality of care. It affects everything that goes on in that environment from a patient satisfaction point of view, from an employee satisfaction point of view, as well as from a physician point of view. I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
And I know you have some very important news, and I'd love for you to talk a moment about your upcoming plans, because 40 years, Feldman, Kleidman, Collins, and Sape, attorneys at law, and now there's going to be a little bit of a change coming here shortly.
Yes. So this will be the first time it's stated publicly, but I am in the process of retiring. And I surprised my wife and my kids last summer by telling them that I had come to this decision. I stopped trying cases in December of 2023. I took my last verdict. That was really what motivated me and what kept my juices going. At the time, I knew that it was just a matter of time because I was never a paper pusher type of person. And so I decided last summer that it was time to stop working 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and spend more time with my family and with our grandkids. You know, enjoy life.
Jeff Feldman, Feldman, Kleidman, Collins, and Sape, attorneys at law, right here in the Hudson Valley. I'd love to put your contact information out for the firm. How about your website?
So our website is www.fkcs.law. And the email address for me is jeff@fkcs.law.
Again, that's www.fkcs.law. Find out more information about Feldman, Kleidman, Collins, and Sape. Or you can go right on our website at the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce. But Jeff, before we do take off, I just want to take the opportunity on behalf of the business community and the community at large to say thank you for your commitment to all of us here in the Hudson Valley region. A lot of individuals that are in the business world, they're focused on their business and solely their business. They're not focused on community, and I can't say that about you. It has been such an honor to get to know you and know about you over the years, and certainly to have you here as a guest on this show many times, but I'm certain you're not going anywhere in the community. You have future plans to stay here in the community and be a part of this community, but I wish you Godspeed as you transition to your retirement.
Totally appreciate that, Frank, and the feeling is mutual, and yes, I am not going anywhere. I remain active with family services and with hospice and the town of LaGrange Parks and Recreation, and probably something else will come along.
And to our listeners, stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to have another great guest, Cynthia Madden, the founder and chef of Apex Kitchen RX. Hang in there. We'll be back right after this quick break.
Hey, it's Uncle Mike from iHeartRadio. Frank Costello Jr. is in the studio. Frankie, what's going on over at the Chamber?
Uncle Mike, we are planning for the 35th annual Hudson Valley Hot Air Balloon Festival. It'll take place once again on Labor Day weekend, September 4th, 5th, and 6th this year, and it'll be at Time Warp Park in Unionvale, New York. This event has become a rite of passage for summer for everyone here in the Hudson Valley, with hot air balloon illumination moon glows, mass ascensions all weekend long, fireworks each night, 2x2 Animal Haven live music, a drone zone, bubble zone, live entertainment, and so much more. Find all the information and tickets online at the website balloonfesthv.com. That's balloonfesthv.com. And remember, Uncle Mike, those tickets sell out each and every year. And welcome back to the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show here on iHeartRadio. Now in the studio with me, as promised, from Apex Kitchen RX LLC, it's Cynthia Madden. She's the founder and chef with Apex Kitchen RX. Cynthia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Cynthia, tell our listeners, what is Apex Kitchen RX?
Apex Kitchen RX is all about bringing confidence and life skills back into people's lives. We reintroduce everybody to scratch cooking. At a kid level, it's interesting. Different stories that I've heard. I think we all know about the term latchkey kid. I know I grew up as a latchkey kid and being raised on processed foods, and that's only gotten worse over the years. So with the more children and families that I've been introduced to, and even in my own life when I was working as a corporate accountant for a decade and seeing how processed foods affected myself and my family, their friends and their families, and even the students that I was working with when I was at the culinary. There's this trend of processed foods, a decline in health and nutrition, and just no family bonding time whatsoever. And I found that a lot of people, they are just not confident in the kitchen. They don't have this relative skill set that is so vital into bringing nutrition and bonding and all those other key elements of family and life.
Back up, what brought you here? You mentioned accounting. What made you leave that industry?
Yeah, so I was a corporate accountant for about a decade. I worked in large, big four accounting firm and moved into other private and public firms. Some of them were global, and I've done just about every aspect of it. The hours and trying to build a family and a future and, the whole white picket fence, the American dream, it became too much. I couldn't balance it. And it really affected my health negatively. I had a kind of a very big life event that occurred where one of my last accounting jobs that I had, I was very close with my manager. He was very much a mentor, and he had some severe health issues. He died unexpectedly. At that time, I think my son was about 2, and my daughter was almost 5. And I saw where my health was, and I was like, this isn't good. I need to do something about this. I moved closer to home. I think at the time I was working down in Mount Kisco. I moved closer to Poughkeepsie up here. I decided to really kind of do a deep dive on what, how is postpartum really affecting me and what I was really passionate about and what I wanted to teach my kids later on in life. Like that mommy working 90 hours a week is not sufficient, and that's not a good example of what a family looks like or what a family could be. After some severe self-reflection, not always kind to myself about it, I decided to go to culinary. I have my AOS in culinary. After that, I had some personal health issues with my son, who has some sensory issues, and actually changing his diet was one of the key elements in addition to some other alternative treatments that we had for him.
So I want you to tell our listeners about the model, about some of the programs that you have.
We really, and this is part of parent feedback too, but we really focus on the social aspects when we, especially for our junior chefs program, like to have it no more than 10 kids in a kitchen at a time. And what really see here is how comfortable they get when they're not on their phones, they're not on their screens. You're giving them an activity to do. They just kind of bloom and thrive while they're there. You get to see their personalities. I think one of the biggest successes when we're in the kitchen with the kids is when they start making funny noises. They start making different Bam. Voices. Yeah, they start doing different voices. They want to do Salt Bae. They just get very comfortable with themselves in the kitchen and with each other. They start talking. They talk about what they did at school that day, who they're friends with. They want to make plans outside of there. So that's when I know I'm doing something right with them. And that's what we're looking for. We see kids who don't play sports. They're having a hard time socializing in school. And we see them make friends while they're there.
And they're learning a skill set they're going to take with them for the rest of their lives.
But they don't know that. Right. They don't know that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the cooking. Talk about what are we cooking? What are we making? What's on the menu today?
Everybody loves to make pasta from scratch. I do like to challenge the kids, though, to make something else. We'll do gnocchi, we'll do raviolis, they'll learn how to make sauces from scratch. This past summer, we did a cake challenge. We were making a European sponge cake and learning differences between flours. And they definitely learned the difference between flours because some of their cakes came out rock hard versus some of our actual sponge cakes. It was a learning process for them, and they enjoyed that. They enjoyed the challenge.
You have different classes. So go through each of those, starting with the adult, working your way down, and talk about them.
So the adult classes, you'd be surprised at how many adults don't know how to hold a knife correctly. So we go through just basic knife skills, cooking basics. How do you saute? Why do you cook vegetables on different trays at different cooking times? What is it to saute or braise? Or, we go through anything you pretty much learn in a fundamentals class at a cooking school level. That's what we go through with the adults, except we're not going through all these French cooking techniques that requires a ton of butter or oil. We make them a little bit healthier. We incorporate more global cuisine, something more nutritious, and sometimes even introduce other grains and cooking flavors. Our family cooking classes, we keep them small. We allow up to four or five families at a time. It's really for, a parent and child, a grandparent and a child. I've had aunts and their nieces or nephews come in. They're great gifts
I was just going to say, what a great gift.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they're great gifts.
Always looking for something for Mother's Day or even Father's Day.
Yeah, we've definitely had fathers in classes with their daughters, which I think is just the sweetest thing to see. We recently had a pasta making class, but we have a couple of classes coming up where we focus on baking, we focus on Mexican takeout, which is always fun. We have like fiesta night coming up, and it's just to really get them to gather in the kitchen and work together. You know, mother-daughter relationships is always a little weird, so getting them in the kitchen and being able to see them interact with each other and learn this is what we're going to do. I try to have the kids be the bosses while they're there and have the parents more like a sous chef to them. So it works out better that way, and they just seem to have a lot of fun. We're official program vendors for Girl Scouts Heart of the Hudson. So we do a lot of Girl Scout like simple meals badges or new cuisines badges. That's part of our cooking classes.
And private cooking classes. I think that's important.
Yes.
Will you go to someone's home and cook in their kitchen?
Yes, that I will do. I think most people want to get out of their house. I've also have had plenty of people say, no, we don't want to be home. We want to go out. And I think for them, it's just part of the experience. They know what they're like when they're home cooking. And I think that's why I like the location that we're set up in right now. Yes, it's a commercial kitchen, but it's small enough, and it's the flow of it is just set up more like a home kitchen, if that makes sense. That makes sense. And they get very comfortable. So, and that's what we're looking for. We need you to be comfortable in your environment. And if we have you in a very big open space kind of commercial kitchen, it doesn't work out well for anybody.
Now, talk about the sensory kitchen. You mentioned that you have a child with sensory needs. And I'm sure that's what brought this on, was to have this concept of the sensory kitchen. Talk about that.
When it came to my youngest, he really took to needing a role. That was definitely during his formative years in elementary school, too. Feedback that the teachers and I would talk about. He needed a role, and he needed to be told, you know, when you need to go from one activity to the other. I noticed that, especially during COVID, while we were home, he needed the structure. He knew that, hey, we're going to have lunch, or hey, we're going to have dinner at this time. This is what we're going to do. And because, you know, we all had the time. We made pierogies from scratch. And he was with me the whole way through, from making a dough and making
focused.
He was focused. And he was telling me what to do at one point. And that's fine by me, because if this is what he needs to make him feel confident and good about himself, then go for it. And there's other aspects to it, too, like fine motor skills he's developing. He's developing leadership skills while he's there. And he doesn't even know that that's what's going on.
Sure.
So
it's confidence.
Yeah. Comfort, confidence, the whole nine. And to see him do that, and later on, even my daughter doesn't have sensory issues, but there were other issues going on, because, you know, middle school for girls is just a terrible, terrible experience. So any parent with a girl knows. Self-esteem, it diminishes during that time, and you need an outlet for it. So I found that the kitchen's the heart of the home.
Everyone has one.
Being there and being able to talk to her and have that time with her while we're, I don't know, she loves baking, so we're baking cookies, we're baking brownies, not anything that I eat, because I can't eat that stuff anymore, but you know, we're doing this together, and she's learning something, doesn't realize it, but we're also rebuilding her. So we just had a community workshop with Community Matters too. They had a number of teens. We were in the kitchen. We were working together. That was a great experience. Did Cooking Week with Common Ground Farms last year, and looking to continue to expand on our Girl Scout badge program. And with our corporate wellness, we have some corporations booked now. And that's all about team building. So we worked through some pretty comical team building experiences, but that's what it's about. It's about, you know, you're out of the office, and you're trying to, you know, build interpersonal skills with your coworkers, right?
I think our listeners who would be interested to know more about some of your classes, your workshops, your programs, they might have some questions. How can they find you online?
They can find me on my website, apexkitchenrx.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. My handle is @apexkitchenrx. And of course, you can call me anytime, email me, all my information's there.
Again, the website is apexkitchenrx.com. It's apexkitchenrx.com. Cynthia Madden, founder and chef with Apex Kitchen RX, thank you for coming in and joining us here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show. And to our listeners, if you like what you heard about any of our guests on our show today, and or you want to find out about events that are happening in and around the Hudson Valley community, or even chamber events, simply visit our website at the Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce. It's dcrcoc.org. Go to our business directory. It makes it very easy to think local first and support our local businesses right here at home in the Hudson Valley. It's dcrcoc.org. Thank you for tuning in here on the Hudson Valley Business Scene Show, and have a great day. Bye-bye.